Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Good to be back, and of course we're going to have issues, and
I am using the account, Gwen's account from Here Be Monsters. She's not doing a show tonight. And I said, well, I'll do one on Tuesday night until we get our network up and running, which I will tell you about later. But here's the deal. It is very possible that you cannot hear me right now because when she logged in, it kicked me off and she says she can't hear me. But just to double check, I've got a caller on the line, area code 661, just listening on hold. Let me go to this caller and find out, can you in fact hear me? And then I'll check the chat room. And if none of that works, I will have to relog into Blog Talk Radio and start all over again. So caller from 661, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, Pinko, it's Zeno. Can you hear me?
Ha-ha, Zeno, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm sorry I can't help you with hearing whether or not you're playing on Blog Talk because I am listening through Skype.
Oh.
I'm just listening on the call-in line.
Oh,
so
I see.
If anybody else is calling in, you can go to them. But I was calling to wish you luck.
Oh, man, thank you so much. That's Zeno from the Authority Smashing Hour, which we'll pimp your show a little later, okay? Let me ask, I got a couple folks in the chat room, but they're guests, and they can't say anything back. So this is kind of a bummer. Something unexpected, Gwen came on to listen, and since it's her account, it seemed to knock me out of the chat room, and she says she can't hear me. But Gwen, you know what? I'm looking at this. It says stream left 1 hour and 53 minutes. So if you don't mind, Miss Gwenny, if you don't mind, actually stay on the phone because I've got you on the telephone. I'm going to play a quick clip, another clip. Why not, right? And take a moment to talk to Gwen, and we will get the show started as soon as we figure this stuff out, okay? It is the Pinko the Bear Show, lefty leftist ear candy for the choir. And really good information for those of you sitting on the fence or just coming to the political fence going, what's correct? What's right? What should I believe? What should I think? What should I do? I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and hopefully it'll inspire you to decide what is true and then to get on it and do something about it. So I'm going to go ahead and let this track play and talk to Gwen on the phone, and then we'll figure out what the hell's going on here. It's the Pinko the Bear Show, maybe. We'll be right back. All right, Gwen. So the caller is just listening on Skype, this guy from Authority Smashing Hours. People in the chat room are guests, and they can't say anything back to me. Are you in the chat room? That's you, Here Be Monsters. And you can't. Why don't you refresh? What are you? Are you guest number 7? There's. Okay, on mine, there's Here Be Monsters and then guest number 7. Gwen, can you do this? If you log out. Okay. If you're logged out, come back to BTR as a guest, because if you log in, that might make a difference. Come back in, unlog, just as, anybody, and you can't hear anything. That's all right, well, so do me a favor, completely log out. Come back in and try it. I got about a 4-minute song. All right, we try that. Stay on the line. On mine it says I'm on it.
know what I think I'm gonna do? I think I'm gonna try. I'm just gonna go ahead and do it.
Burning Man at sunrise at one of the sound camps last fall, last Memorial Day weekend. Pachanga Boys time. Anyway, it is the Pink of the Bear show, the revolutionary kind of lefty-lefty, hear candy for the choir kind of show. And we're just winging it tonight. We're hoping everything will go well. I've got a few things planned, but I would also appreciate your calls. If you're an old-time listener from the last few years when I was doing it five nights a week, 2 hours a night, like clockwork, call in, say hi. If you're a new listener and you have questions or commentary, call in and say hi. The number to call is area code 213-816-300, excuse me, 0357. I have not even been drinking yet. I have not yet begun to drink, but I will. I will. So this is some interesting things have been going on. Rather than getting into topics and stuff that I will get into, I just want to take a couple minutes to explain myself. So for a couple of years, Monday through Friday, midnight to 2 a.m. Pacific time, I was doing this lefty leftist political talk show. started as kind of a far left liberal and then realized, no, I'm not really a liberal. I'm a socialist. I'm an anarcho-syndicalist. I'm a anarchist. I'm a communist. I'm a something over there, way beyond the spectrum that's allowed to be talked about in the corporate media, the Democrats, the liberals, the conservatives, and the GOP. I'm like way out of that spectrum because I'm not in favor of capitalism. That's what I came to after doing the show and reading and talking to people and reading more and thinking about things, discussing things. I'm an anti-capitalist, and so there's no way I was ever going to have a radio show on commercial, AM talk dial. And one of the things towards the end of my show, maybe the last 6 months, 9 months, of that 2 year run, one of the things that I was really fond of saying was, get out there, get active, tag you're it, kind of like that Tom Hartman tagline. But I don't mean get out there and get active like in the Democratic Party. I mean get out there and do something, organize, agitate, talk about class consciousness, talk about social justice. And then after you've talked about it, go out there and do something. Feed the homeless. Organize a workplace. Join the IWW. Join an anti-capitalist collective. Do something. Show up to a rally. Meet your kindred spirits of the real left. And get busy. Get busy. And so I was doing some of that. I've been on the organizing committee for the May Day rally here in town in Reno for the last, I don't know, a couple of years through the IWW. And we also have a labor film series that we promote and sponsor and promote. We put on a labor-oriented film each month, third Wednesday. Invite the public to come, show the film, free popcorn, $2 PBRs, and talk about the film, talk about the injustice, talk about social justice, talk about the ramifications of what we just saw, what we're living in today, and what we can do about it. But that wasn't enough. And I was spending so much time 5 nights a week. I said, you know what? Spring is coming. There was supposed to be this Occupy Spring, 99% spring, things were going to get better. And that didn't happen. We had a pretty, well, my uncle is pretty bad shape. He stroked out and heart attacks and ended up being a caretaker for several months over at his house in Sparks. Anyway, got busy. But one of the things about not doing the show 5 nights a week is it gave me more time. And let me just share a couple of things because I'm one of these guys that says, get out there and do it, get out there and do it. And I want this show to be an inspiration for others who they want to do something, but maybe they just don't know. Maybe let's not say they, you want to do something, but you just don't know what to do or how to do it. And I want this show, it's going to be once a week, to be an inspiration for folks. I'm not doing it right. I don't know like what's right. I just know that I can only do what I can do when I can do it with what I've got, right? So any little bit helps. Any little bit helps. So just an update over the last few months or the last year. Occupy Reno, I think, officially dead. We still have a Facebook presence, but nobody goes there. And, there's more trolls than anything else. But one of the things we started doing, we had all this food left over and we were getting kicked out of our camp. And so we were taking the food down on a Saturday to the mission, the gospel mission, not the gospel mission, but there's men's dorms, there's women's dorms, and family dorms. Right now, I can't even think of the name of it, but it doesn't matter. I call it, it's on Record Street. So we used to take our food down to Record Street and then feed about 200 to 250 people each week. We started doing that, and then we couldn't get a lot of donations through the Occupy website because of, well, oh, you guys throw bricks through Starbucks windows. People are just, ignorant. So good friend Ben Castro from that I met through Occupy, who is now unemployed, perhaps through his activism. I don't know. Maybe his corporation didn't like it. But anyway, so Ben and Katie and Mark, some of these really great people that I met through Occupy, decided, hey, let's take the Occupy name off of it and let's just feed people. Let's make a 501c3. And they've done that. The organization is called RISE, the Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality. It's people feeding people. We have the people's dinner, right? We used to call it the feed, but it sounds too much like, you know, animal feed, right? So the people's dinner. And I tell you, it's amazing what just a handful of people can do. We've been doing this now for 14 months, each and every Saturday. Collect food, collect donations, clothes, toothbrushes, blah, 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 whatever. But cooking up at Ben's house, used to be in a one-bedroom apartment, a little tiny efficiency kitchen, we've got it done. Taking it all down there, everybody lines up. Everybody, not everybody, but most of them say thank you. There's families, children. It's tough, man, when you see it face-to-face each and every week and you start to realize how much need there is in the world. And so you do what you can with what you got when you can do it. And one of the things that came out of Occupy and my participation in that is the participation in RISE. That's just one thing. You can do it in your community. We can do it here. We didn't have anybody telling us how. We just did it. And also out of the ashes of Occupy, some of the more radical members, love, 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 Mikey the Rabble Rouser. there's an organization now called SMAC, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. And basically it's, you know, about eight of us. And now it's grown to, I don't know, 20. I don't know how many people are in it now. But there's a bunch of like-minded folks who understand that capitalism is freaking evil. The very nature of capitalism is evil, unfair, and unjust. And so with SMAC, we have a couple meetings a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. With SMAC, what we're doing is we're producing a zine each and every month. First one was only like 8 or 9 pages. Then we're like 24 pages. I think we're up to 28 now on our third issue. And it is called The Issue. The Issue, a Subverse 1, Subverse 2, Subverse 3. And so we're producing a zine. And everybody, you know, just contributes whatever they can contribute. And we're taking it around. I'm not doing this part. I'll contribute and I'll help edit. But the younger ones are taking the zines around to those kind of, you know, those underground house parties, those punk pirate party kind of things. There was a punk show over at a club in Sparks. They got a table, laid it all out there. We made patches, silk screen patches, donations for $1 or whatever to help pay for the zine. So we've been distributing, you know, anywhere. I think the first time was 75 print. The last time might have been 100 and something we printed. And so you get the word out. You do whatever you can. RISE, SMAC. Hey, in your community, do whatever you can. Get together. Even if it's with one or two other people, say, well, what can we do? You'd be amazed what you can do. So, you know, with SMAC, we're getting the word out. We're trying to get people to think about capitalism and the nature of capitalism. And, you know, you grow up in this society, right? You know, okay, it's 2013. I've been around for a couple of decades. I'm in this society, this capitalist society, this imperialist, warmongering society. And you think, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it'll always be. But that's bullshit. It is not the way it's always been. It's not the way it always will be. Not at all. Not at all. So I just want to say you can do things. I just got distracted. I looked into the chat room and I'm hearing that that they can't hear anything in the chat room, which is sad, which means I'm only talking to the podcast, which is great. And the few people online that are listening. But my train of thought, you know, do what you can. And that's what I've been doing for the last year that I've been off the microphone. I've been out trying to get things done. And it's amazing. I've met the most wonderful, amazing, smart, well-informed people. And even if some people aren't well-informed, guess what? If you've got the information, you can share it with them. Don't think that you don't know anything, but then don't talk out of your ass either, right? Talk about what you know. Ask questions about things that you're not sure of. Weigh it out in your mind. Logic, yo. Deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning. You know, and then you, but, you know, in your heart, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. In your gut, you know what's right and what's wrong. You don't have to be a genius to look around the world and see what's wrong. And I tell you, at the root of it all, capitalism. At the root of it all is aggregated wealth at the very top. Wealth that is being used as a weapon to steal from you. Can you say bailouts? Wealth that is used as a weapon to kill people all around the world. Drones, wars, invasions, occupations. Wealth, aggregated wealth at the top that is being used to oppress and exploit people. Sweatshops, anyone? Right? Now, if some jackass is walking around with a sword and he's stealing from you and he's killing you and he's oppressing you and exploiting you with a sword or a gun or a, you know, a tank or whatever, if they've got some sort of weapon and they're fucking you over, you have every right to take that weapon away from them because they can't handle it. And so I would just say that if there's aggregated wealth that's so obscene and so gross up at the top, and the ruling class has that wealth, and the ruling class is using that wealth as a weapon to rob you, to starve you, to cause you to be homeless, to cause you to work for slave wages, minimum wage, or even less, I think you probably should join an organization that is dedicated to taking that weapon away. An anti-capitalist organization, a socialist organization, a communist organization, a anarchist organization. That's what I'm saying. So, all right, there's other stuff. I don't know. I got this whole thing with whether or not I'm broadcasting or not. Nobody can hear me in the chat room, and kind of throwing me for a loop. But I see Gwen is in the chat room, and she's letting people know what's up. So I appreciate that, Gwen. And Zeno's still on the line. So I think what I'll do is I'll take a very, very, very quick break, maybe a two-minute break. And when I come back, we'll get on to the show. Think of the Bear Show. Some small difficulties, but hey, we're getting it done. Yeah, that was the Game of Thrones soundtrack opening credit. Very dramatic. Everybody's got swords and arrows and yeah. Pinko, what are you doing watching TV? What are you doing watching TV? You know that shit'll rot your brain, don't you? Yeah, I know. But Game of Thrones does not rot my brain. I just want to say this. Now, if you've read the books, then you probably know the answer and how it all turns out. I have not. I've watched 2 seasons and 3 episodes. And the thing that I like about Game of Thrones, folks, is there's a key. Cersei says to Ned in the first season halfway through, when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or die. There is no middle ground. And, of course, then Ned loses his head at the end of season 1, and everybody's freaked out because they think Ned is the good guy. No, my friends, no. There are no good guys trying to be kings or queens or sell swords, trying to be advisors to the kings and the queens and the sellswords. Let me tell you something. When you watch Game of Thrones, every one of those motherfuckers needs to die. Everybody who wants to be king. Every mother who wants their son to be king. Catelyn Stark, I hope you die. Robb Stark, I hope you die. Cersei, your little shitty son, Joffrey, that you made with your brother, Jaime, I hope he dies. In fact, I know he will. Game of Thrones, man. Kings, queens, rulers, lords, fuck them all. Seriously. Great program, though, because you get to watch all these people die. There is a group there, though, and I have not read ahead, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but there is one group that I'm rooting for, and that group is the Wildlings. Now, the Wildlings live beyond the wall. They have, they have no loyalty to a king in one of the 7 kingdoms of Westeros. And you know what? That's exactly why I love me some Wildlings. They're not trying to bow down before the one they serve. You know, they're not trying to give the product of their labor over to the castle and the lords. They're like just like living, man. They're kind of like the anarchists. I kind of dig them. And as it turns out, the Wildlings, the folks beyond the wall, actually do have a king. But what's cool is they elected their king. And if the king does messed up stuff, then they can unelect him with a sword to his neck. I like that. It's like instant recall of representatives. Wouldn't it be great if like we voted for politicians here in America? We voted for them because they said they're going to do A, B, and C. And then they get into office and they don't do shit. And they do like D, E, F, and G. And you're like, damn, I can't do anything about it. But wouldn't it be great if we could instantly recall them? Sorry, dude, we elected you to do A, B, and C. You didn't, so now we're going to send somebody else. You know, there was a time and there was a place where that actually happened. It was called Russia. The workers' councils. Yeah, you elected representatives, but then those representatives had to do the will of the people. And if they didn't, they were instantly recallable. So don't get your panties in the wad because I was playing Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's HBO, but it's not TV. It's not Honey Boo Boo. It ain't Honey Boo Boo. What a great show. What a great show. I'm excited to see all the kings die. And they will. All right. Let me check into the chat room and see what's up. Oh, nobody. Everybody gone. Stabbing me cugs. All right. So probably a chat room not functional. It is what it is. This will be a podcast then. So I want to go back to SMAC, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. I live in the Sierra Mountains here, right in the foothills, in the valley in Reno. And for our first issue, And everybody was hemming and what are we going to put in? You know, I got to write about drones. I'm going to write about police brutality. I'm going to write about know your rights. I'm going to write about, and I thought, you know what, for the first issue, I should write about why anti-capitalist, why I am an anti-capitalist. And it's not very long, but it really sums things up. And for those of you listening, wondering, well, what's wrong with capitalism? Well, you know, just let me lay this on you and see how it feels and mull it over, all right? I'm getting text messages. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, why anti-capitalism? I'll tell you why, folks. So I wrote this for the first edition of The Issue. I thought I might start by stating my personal reasons for being part of this collective, and it's really quite simple. Capitalism is an unjust, immoral system. It's imposed on all of humanity around the globe by a tiny fraction of the human race. Just a little bitty, just a tiny fraction. And in short, capitalism kills. It kills the children that were born into poverty. It kills people that were too poor to afford proper health care, 45,000 just in America alone each and every year. Capitalism kills the human spirit. And you know what? If we allow capitalism to continue, it will kill the freaking planet, taking with it the human race, as well as, well, most of all the other species on this little blue marble of ours. Why am I an anti-capitalist? Well, because I believe Eugene V. Debs said it best when he said, and I quote, "I am opposing a social order in which it is possible for one man who does absolutely nothing that is useful to amass a fortune of hundreds of millions, or if not billions, of dollars, while millions of men and women who work all their lives secure barely enough for a wretched existence." That's why I'm an anti-capitalist. I'm down with Debs. Debs, he's the American labor and political leader, five-time Socialist Party candidate for the presidency of the United States. And you know what? The man was right. And listen, most of the stuff that we were taught as children, be nice, play fair, don't take what's not yours, don't hit or kill or start wars for profit, and leave the toilet seat down after peeing. Well, okay, Debs never said anything about toilet seats, but you get the point, right? Debs did, however. He talked about a lot of the things that Robert Fulghum mentioned, Robert Fulghum, the author. Fulghum, about 70 years later, after Debs's time, in 1988, Fulghum wrote this excellent book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Oh, no, oh yeah, this is political. You need to stay with this. All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And the first essay in that book explains how the world would be a better place if only adults, grown-ups, if only adults adhere to the same basic rules as children. Be nice, play fair, don't take what isn't yours, don't hit, and leave the toilet seat down after peeing. I'm not even sure that Robert said that about the toilet seat. I might have just made that up. But the other things, for sure. See, sharing, being kind to one another, cleaning up after ourselves, living a balanced life of work, play, and learning, these are really simple concepts, which too many adults, especially the capitalists, they just don't put them into practice. They lost it along the way. See, capitalism isn't going to allow for such things, you know? See, sharing isn't part of the capitalist equation, folks. In capitalism, aggregating wealth, that's the goal, not sharing. You'll have less if you share. Being kind, being kind is replaced by screwing everyone in a deal to extract more from an exchange than is offered in the exchange. Oh, I got over on him. I made a good deal. I made some money. Well, if I made some money, somebody lost some money. Cleaning up after oneself? No. That doesn't happen under capitalism because capitalists, well, they just dump the externalities caused by capitalism onto the public's back. We got some toxic sludge here. What are we going to do with it? Well, we could dispose of it properly, but we could just dump it in this river. Putting toxins in the environment rather than disposing of them properly saves them money. It boosts their profits, and they do it at our expense. Capitalists, in pursuit of ever higher profit margins, they would have us all doing their labor for 10, 12, 14, maybe 16 hours a day, leaving very little time for a balanced life of work, play, and learning. How much balance was there during the Industrial Revolution, the Gilded Age, or in the lives of those people that are toiling away in the modern-day sweatshops overseas, huh? Capitalists put profits before people, and it's simply dead fucking wrong, and it is unsustainable. Capitalism built on the idea that has to completely, gotta keep growing on a planet of finite resources. It's unsustainable. So is this the world, man? Is this the world that a human being should have? Do we just stand by and let a few privileged folks, you know, create the world in which we exist? Do we just passively accept increasingly shittier and shittier jobs for less pay and fewer benefits so that the billionaires and the killionaires of the planet can amass a larger and a larger war chest in which to buy more and more mercenaries and their guns and truncheons to beat us over the head with until we submit or die? Is this what life's all about? Well, you know, it's the way it is. Are we to spend our lives serving the interests of a few thousand overlords in a system that they created for their own benefit? Fuck no. Folks, another world is possible, but we first have to understand where we are and how we got here. I mean, yeah, we live in a capitalist society, but that doesn't mean we are capitalists. I mean, fuck, if I stand in a garage, it doesn't make me a mechanic. We're the labor for the capitalists. We're a commodity, a mere commodity to be used and then to be used up and then discarded. We don't own the means of production. We're the working class. They are the ruled class. I mean, they are the ruling class. We're the working class. We're the ruled class. They are the ruling class. I need to drink more. But, you know, it doesn't have to stay this way, does it? But that's the way it is. Yeah, maybe that's the way it is, but we can do better. What if the peasants, the proletariat, the serfs under feudalism simply said, well, that's the way it is? And what if they never worked to free themselves from that unfair, unjust, morally reprehensible system known as feudalism? What if slaves throughout all of history simply said, well, we're the slaves, they're the masters. We can't and we shouldn't do anything about it because that's the system in which we live. You want to be a slave? You want to do nothing about it? And what kind of world would this be if we didn't have any resistance to unjust power, huh? I think Orwell put it rather well when he said, if you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. Well, comrades, that is capitalism. It's a boot stamping on the face of humanity forever and ever and ever and ever unless we organize and we fight back. And you might not feel that boot right now. You may still have a comfortable job with a comfortable wife and a beautiful car. You might say, this is my automobile. You might have good benefits. You might be comfy, right? You don't feel the boot. You may still have a car and a house and a little extra money for cable and other entertainment and distractions. But I just ask you, look around, man. Look around, not only here in our own community or in our own country, but look around the world. Look around the world and see what's going on. Is this the world that you would build? If you had a choice, is this what you would choose? The capitalist class has a stranglehold on humanity even stronger than they did 80 years ago when they were using child labor in their factories and there weren't any regulations and all, you know, there weren't any workplace safety rules. These freaking capitalists, you know, these capitalists, they're like mad dogs, man. They're just like, they're like mad dogs. But 80 years ago, you know, they were forced to heal for a while, gave them some rabies shots. That's the New Deal, right? Heal! Heal, capitalists! Here's the New Deal. You're going to have to give some shit back so people don't have a revolution. But you know what? They're back with a vengeance, and they're rabid as ever. And so, yeah, we don't have any child labor in this country anymore, at least organized, right? But you know what? We just outsourced the child labor. We outsourced the slave labor. I should say they, not we. They, the capitalist class, the ruling class, they outsource the child labor, the slave labor to the third world countries. They destroy the world economy. They are bringing austerity or have already brought austerity measures to the weaker European nations. They're bringing it home right now as we speak. And make no freaking mistake, capitalism is the enemy of the people. Capitalism kills. It might be the best system since feudalism, but you know what? We can do better. We really can, man. Just remember, man, the fish is the last to know it lives in a bowl. We all live in this Western bowl of capitalism. It's going to take a lot of work to free ourselves from our long-held ideas about what capitalism is, what democracy is. Because this, you know, we had years of propaganda and conditioning. So it's tough to look outside the bowl and see the rest of the world. Let's all just open our eyes a little bit. Open our eyes where we currently live. Look around at the conditions we've got. Ask ourselves who created those conditions. Who benefits from those conditions. Who suffers from those conditions. Ask yourself, which side are you going to be on? Then, you know what? You get answers to that. Then together, you know, we can struggle together to bring forth a fair and a just society, one that all of us want and one that all of us deserves. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. I'll be back in, I don't know, a couple of minutes. End of rant. Grab a cocktail, smoke them if you got them. Up to the song here. Bring the violin. Let's turn it up. I love the way that that just cuts off at the end, and then there's a heartbeat. It is the Pink of the Bear show, and, you know, sorry for the difficulties earlier, and evidently we're not in the chat room, and that's no audio in the chat room, so this will be a podcast and a couple of folks listening online. In fact, I want to bring Zeno in a couple of minutes, 661, I believe you are, in a couple of minutes. But I just want to I want to play I want to play a couple of clips because people ask me, like, hey, you know, Pinko, what are you, how did you get so radical? You know, what happened to you, man? You used to be such a nice kid in high school. You know, you used to be a conservative in college. You know, what the hell happened to you? You know, and honestly, what happened to me is I just started seeing the shit that was going on. I opened my eyes and I saw how productivity keeps going up from the 70s, yet wages have stayed stagnant. I've seen war after war after war. I mean, Vietnam era to all of the Central and South America dirty wars with Reagan to, you know, to Clinton and Sarajevo and all. I mean, not Sarajevo, but Kosovo. Then Iraq, Afghanistan. You know, now we got troops in Somalia, Yemen, I mean, in North Africa as well. Now I get it. But I wouldn't have got it if there weren't other voices out there. If there wasn't a Noam Chomsky out there talking, or a Howard Zinn talking, or a Hedges, or a Naomi Klein, or, you know, just pick one, anyone. But people that know shit need to say shit. If you know something, say something. And this is what I'm telling you folks. Because I know you know stuff. Find a way to say it. And find a way to get it out there. But, you know, why am I such a radical? Well, I saw a thing the other day, Billy Bragg, musician, Billy Bragg, he was on Democracy Now, and he explained exactly, you know, why he's such a socialist, or why he became a socialist. And I thought it was really brilliant. It was in the – well, I don't even know. Should I tell you what the context was, or should I just play the damn clip? Probably just play the clip. If it's – oh, it's not processed. Nice. Another glitch in the BTR. It's not ready. But Billy Bragg was on Democracy Now, and he basically – they're asking, you know, well, how did you become an activist and a socialist? And he's like, well, look, man, for generations, my father's generation and his father's generation, they were fighting for the welfare state. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the state, but I am a huge fan of the welfare state versus no welfare state, right? I like things like a social safety net, unemployment insurance. I like things, you know, where people don't have to starve and eat cat food. You know, I think people should have health care. I think they should have an 8-hour work day. Actually, I think they should have a 4-hour work day. But, you know, but his father and his grandfather and millions of people in the UK fought for that. They went on strike. They suffered. They got beat by the cops, you know. And they fought for that. And they got it. And nobody questioned it. From the end of World War II through 1980, nobody was trying. It doesn't matter if it was Labour Party, the Tories. Didn't matter if it was left or right. The two major parties were not trying to dismantle the social safety net. It was untouchable. It was like, well, of course you should have unemployment insurance. And of course you should have, you know, you know, days off, sick leave. And of course, you're a human being. We'll treat you like a human being. But then along came Maggie Thatcher. And that woman worked actively and succeeded in dismantling it. And that is what made Billy Bragg a socialist and an activist. Well, I've been seeing the same crap here since Reagan's time. And that is what made me a socialist and an activist. Because I opened my eyes and I saw what the hell's going on. You know, Maggie Thatcher, you know, bad news. Somebody made a comment, Jean Bales, if you're listening. Jean made a comment on my Facebook page when she heard that the Pink on the Bear show was coming back. She says, oh my God, the best news since I heard Maggie Thatcher died. I love that. I need a little bumper. I need somebody to make a Pink on the Bear, the Pink on the Bear show bumper. Oh, that's the best news I've heard since Maggie died. That would be fantastic. Well, I'm sorry I don't have that clip of Maggie and Billy Bragg talking about Thatcher. But I do have this. And when I come back, we'll get you on the line and we'll talk about capitalism a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite songs from the 80s, back when we were doing underground music, late night, Ecstasy was $5 a hit. It was legal. You could physically actually buy it at the bar. You'd have a $78 tab, $3 for water. No, $50 for water and $35 for drugs. That's before they made it illegal. But there's a little song featuring our girl, Maggie the Milk Snatcher Thatcher.
This, Mr. President, is a remarkable record. Far better than anything we have ever known. The bass goes on. Acid party. Today, every week, acid party. Even more frequently. Acid party. Crucial party. Let's have a party. Pool.
Party.
Acid party. Let's have a
party.
Brave, brave, brave murder. Acid party. Come with us then. Acid party. Never mind the politics.
It's a better record than the Labour Party ever had at any time. It's a party. It's a party. Yes, yes, yes.
The bass goes on.
Yes, I am outstanding. Yes, I am tremendous. Yes, I am very strong and creative. Yes, I am dynamic. Yes, I am successful. Yes, I am much better. Yes, I am everything. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. Acid party. Come to the
party.
Let's have a party. Come to the babe. Acid party. Let's have a
party. Thatcher. Power.
Cool. Murder. Acid party. Whoever they are organized by. Acid party. Party. There is no place for politics. Acid party.
Crucial party.
Let's have a party. Cool.
Party.
Acid party. Let's have a
party.
Brave, brave, brave. Murder. Acid party. Acid party. Never mind the politics. Everyone can see, and everybody knows, that this party is that. Everyone can see, and everybody knows, that this party is that. And there is more to come. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. Acid party. Come to the
party.
Let's have a party. Come to the babe. Acid party. Let's have a
party. That's your power.
Cool. Murder. Acid party. Acid party. Let's have a party, cool.
Party.
Acid party. Let's have a
party.
Brave, brave, brave murder. Acid party. Acid party. Never mind the politics. I am not prepared to limit our legitimate freedom to party. To party. To party. Legitimate freedom to party. We must persist in the determination that we have shown hitherto. Let our people go. Go. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on. The bass goes on.
Argentinians. I don't know how anybody can like her. I don't know how anybody can like mourn for her death. And I just it's insane. She's a tyrant and she did so much damage and unraveled so much good. And then, you know, little things like wars and Falklands and saying that Nelson Mandela was a terrorist, publicly calling Nelson Mandela a terrorist, and then praising Pinochet. Unfucking believable. Oh, what else did she say? Oh, gays. Gays, somehow, they think that they have an inalienable right to be gay and have sex. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Thatcher the Milk Snatcher. R.I.P. Not rest in peace. What is that? That's rot in, I don't know, pieces? I don't know. Whatever. Good riddance. Good riddance. I don't know, man. I'm just, I get a little worked up sometimes. You know what? I've got some other things to talk about. I mean, we could talk about the bombing in Boston. We could talk about North Korea and all that, what's going on. But I think more to the point, we're going to talk about some talk about capitalism some more. I've got with me on the line Zeno, host of the Authority Smashing Hour, a fine show here on BTR. Longtime comrade, I guess, would be the way to describe
Absolutely.
You, my friend. Right. So, yeah, man, I'm so glad you came to the show tonight and that you called in, because the chat room isn't working, the stream isn't working, so you got to hear the show so far. And you threw something up in a private message box on Facebook. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but you want to talk about this. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is a pretty enraging story that even got press in the right-wing blogs as well. It was a story that came out of Augusta, Georgia, and it was about a grocery store owned by this family, the Choi's, and it's called the Laney Supermarket. And this happened again at the beginning of the month, and basically this SunTrust Bank in Atlanta owned the property, and they decided that they were going to send the merchandise to a landfill after evicting this family, the Choi's, and that owned the supermarket. And the Choi's had tried to work until they were evicted, and they made a deal with a food bank or a church that they, I guess, fell through, and nobody came to take all the food. And long story short, basically 300 people showed up hearing that this supermarket was closing and was going to be getting rid of food, and the police, acting under orders of the bank, had to just throw everything in fresh food, totally undamaged stuff, directly into the dumpsters, and the police guarded the dumpsters from these hungry gathering people. And I love this quote from this marshal of the county, Steve Smith. He said that the food wasn't theirs to give away, so they had to trash it. He said, "We don't have the authority to take possession of the property. We just have to make sure that it's handled and disposed of by law." And this just really showed how, the police were really in fear of a riot, and it was very surprising that a riot did not break out. And here, this brings us back to the old days of bread riots. And, that this is where, I know in Atlanta a couple years ago, there was, maybe even just a year and a half ago, there was a riot when I think one of the local county offices was not paying out, I believe it was unemployment insurance or some kind of public aid. And there was like a riot that got little attention. And this really goes into it. Just like where we have more people who are homeless than there are, we
there
have more homes.
Right.
Yeah. And this just really shows how capitalism is, in that the role of the police in this instance, that they would guard food, guard dumpsters with deadly force, to keep starving people from eating.
I didn't open that link because I was busy, but I'm familiar with the story, and I think you laid it out perfectly. And here's a perfect example of how capitalism denies food to people who are too poor to buy it. They would rather throw it away than let somebody have something that, they can use for free. It is just disgusting. That story went viral on Facebook, and I'm sure on Twitter, though I don't tweet. I have an account, but I don't do it. And that's a great illustration of what we're talking about here. It's just an evil system. And this is just a small thing. These are, 300 people who didn't get food, and the food got destroyed. And we're talking about stuff that was packaged, canned goods, potato chips. Sure, some of the milk might have spoiled eventually. Or something might have, maybe some meat could have gone bad and somebody could have gotten sick. But most of that stuff was, the stuff that you see in the stores, it'll last forever on the shelf until you use it. But under this fucking system, we're going to throw it away rather than let hungry people have it. It is insane. And I don't. Here's the thing that boggles my mind. How come one of the food banks, how come one of the organizations that is asking for dollars and donations in that city? Because you know, I mean, Reno's got a couple hundred thousand people, and we've got a hunger problem and a homeless problem here, and they line up by the hundreds each and every day at 5 o'clock down on Record Street. And I'm down there on Saturdays, and we feed them, and they need this. And yet, how did the food banks not show up and get some of this? How did that happen? I never saw any explanation of that. Any ideas?
No, there doesn't seem to be any explanation of that, and nobody seems to know of what happened. The choice didn't know what happened, and they were quite surprised. And
well, I'll tell you this.
A lot about that church.
If I ever go out of business, if I've got a food store and I get foreclosed on, I'm going to empty the goddamn shelves and make sure that people get the food. You know, I'm not going to wait until the last minute where the cops can throw it away. And this is a perfect example. People think, well, all cops, you know, they're here to serve and protect. And it says right there, to serve and protect on the side of the car. Well, no, they're not here to serve and protect you and me and the rest of the people. They're here to serve and protect private property. And you can read that as, you know, the ruling class's shit. They're here to serve them, to protect them from us. End of rant.
Yeah, I mean the whole purpose is not to actually fight crime or stop crime. I mean the whole point is that they're managing the system and they're managing the chaos and the crime that capitalism creates by depriving people and creating a class stratified system where some people go wanting because of the great profits that are concentrated in the hands of the rich. I mean, it's a zero-sum game. The reason why those billionaires and billionaires are so rich is because the poor are so poor. It's directly responsible, and that's just something that some people don't understand. And I try to always do on the in shows and in podcasts and stuff is to really kind of get everybody on the same page, at least, because everybody's coming at things and coming to their different realizations at different times, and you know, none of us have the right answer, but
or all the answers, yeah.
Or all the answers rather, even. And it's like, I think the one thing that could benefit the American people the most right now is to wake up from the American dream and realize that there never was such a thing in the first place. And that it was the middle class was a bribe by the ruling class,
right,
to the working class to keep us from rebelling and asking for our fair share.
Absolutely.
Given
you
that
know,
we create all the wealth for the ruling class.
You know, a couple of years ago, and I, maybe 3 years ago, you know, it was three summers. Coming up on 3 summers ago, I went to conference in Chicago. I think I probably told you about it, the Socialism 2010 conference.
Mm-hmm.
And it was held, for those who haven't heard the story, it was held downtown in a really posh hotel and you know, where you'd expect to see $1,000 suits and stuff. And so I get there, I took the train up there, and 56 hours on the Amtrak. And I get up there, and everybody's like in Che Guevara t-shirts and Rasta hair and like, you know, hippie clothes. And I love it. And wearing communist buttons and flags. And it was so surreal to see this in this setting. But in one of the talks that I went to a bunch of the talks and all day, every day for like 4 days. And one of the talks during the question and answer period, I had a legitimate question. I'm like, well, you talking about, you know, ending capitalism and ending, you know, wage slavery, as you call it, because I didn't really understand it back then. And I said, well, you know, why don't we just go back to what we had from from the 1930s, starting with the New Deal, from the 30s to the 80s, you know, the greatest middle class the world has ever seen. Everything was fine, you know, or you know, not everything, but, you know, things were really good compared to, you know, other periods. So why don't we just do that? And I got a brilliant and correct answer. And he's like, well, yeah, everything was fine if you were, you know, middle class and white, if you came from privilege, you know, but everything was not fine for, you know, the inner cities or the minorities, or everything was not fine for, you know, the children, you know, making Nike shoes in a sweatshop, or indentured servants, or, you know, $2 a day, you know, wage slaves in sweatshops. You know, so it really started making me think, oh, well, you know, you're probably right. And now I hold that position as well. I don't want to go back to that reform, that period that's supposed to be the golden age in America, you know, post-World War II, basically, till 1980, when things started to unravel. It was a bubble, and only for certain people of a certain color and, you know, certain, born into certain circumstances, folks that were in basically in the lucky sperm and egg club, you know. But if you weren't, if you didn't win that lottery, geez, you know, none of that prosperity trickled down, so to speak.
Yeah, and that prosperity was predicated and sustained by global imperialism and the militarism that you know, was carried forth under the guise of the Cold War by the United States, and the control we have over the Third World and extracting the wealth from those countries, and from the military-industrial complex, and the ability of all those phenomena to draw from a finite supply of gasoline, you know, and fossil fuels. And, you know, just from the brass tacks of it, capitalism is not a sustainable system at this point. I mean, it's literally, our planet cannot sustain it. And it's like, just as much as it's no longer sustainable to have a middle class at this point, and so they're going to take it away from us anyway. So it's like, now is the time of dissolving the middle class. And for anybody that still has any illusions that, yes, Obama is our Black Thatcher,
yes,
or Black Tony Blair, as I like to call him,
right,
where he's pushing forward the neoliberal capitalist agenda, where he's going to privatize and end Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And
put us on the road. Probably
it's rude. It's rude awakening.
He won't do it in the next 3 years, but it's going to put us on the road, you know.
Yeah, I think he shot himself in the foot as far as going out of the gate. You know, I don't think it's going to happen now. I don't think this chain CPI scheme is going to go through necessarily under Obama. But, you know, he tried to touch the third rail, and I don't think he's going to survive from it. And, you know, he's a lame duck president anyway, and he just chose to spend that last bit of lame duck capital on trying to starve and kill old people. And isn't that what the right wing was so afraid he was going to do with Obamacare?
And, you know, there's a lot of commentary. I see it in my news feed all the time, a lot of commentary on what this all means and who's playing what kind of game. And, you know, I have tried not to read any of it. I am just – one of the things I meant to say earlier, when I stopped doing my show, I also completely stopped listening to anything that – a White House spokesman or a State Department spokesman or anybody on, you know, MSNBC, CBS, you know, Fox, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I just stopped listening to anybody who is a, you know, a millionaire working for billionaires in the media or in the government, because I just – there's nothing to be believed anymore. And so while a lot of people are spending time speculating, well, maybe Obama he floated this idea so Republicans would sign on, so it would hurt. I mean, there's all this. You know what? So what? All of that stuff is meaningless. Everything that comes out of the – it doesn't matter what they're saying. They are lying. They have a false agenda. They are just – they're unworthy of our time, and I think that's why it's really important to have a new voice and a new perspective. And there's a lot of people out here in this country – that are doing what they can do. You're doing your show. I'm going to start doing mine. In fact, we're going to start me and some friends are going to start a whole network, which I will get to explain that in a little while. And, but, you know, just reading the editorials and trying to figure out, you know, I got a feeling that all of this is just theater and it's busy work for your head. And mm-hmm. it keeps us from going out and actually meeting our neighbors and meeting our community and growing a garden and feeding the homeless and producing a zine and organizing the May Day rally and showing up for LGBT, you know, in solidarity with them for, you know, equal rights for marriage, you know, all of the things that you could be doing with your lives. Instead, you know, people are watching Rachel Maddow and then turning over to CNN and trying to figure out what's going on. Are the, you know, being afraid of Korea and, oh my gosh, look at the bomb porn in Boston. You know, I mean, who knew that running a marathon would be such a blast? I don't know. It's tragic.
Too soon.
Okay, sorry. But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch any of it. All I needed to know is that some bombs went off and, you know, some people got hurt. But I don't need 24-hour bomb porn on my box, you know. You know, they're not doing 24 hours on the, you know, 87 people killed in Iraq today for bombs, or the 33 children killed in a drone strike. You know, they're not doing that. But a couple of whiteys get killed in Boston, and everybody's fucking loses their mind. And it's really, to me, the mainstream media is just so incredibly bad at informing us that I can't look at it anymore, and I don't think I'm missing anything.
Not much.
There's no good analysis.
Is to misinform us. The other half is to make us feel like there's no solutions, and like Thatcher said, there is no alternative.
Right.
So they frame things. The media frames problems in this way that gives way to fatalism. Because they offer no solutions, and they never give voice to socialists or any other anti-capitalists or other alternatives. So therefore, people are left with, well, what can I do? Well, the whole point is that there really isn't much that you can do as an individual. I mean, there's quite a bit more that you can actually do as an individual when you attack individual problems collectively. Okay. And I know that's been a scare word, collectivism, since that whole...
Yeah,
the whole brouhaha over Melissa Harris Perry's bump for her show, propaganda show.
I never watched her show, Melissa Harris Perry. I remember I was still watching MSNBC a couple years ago, and she would come on as a guest. And my dad likes her because she's an attractive woman and well spoken, and she's black. And so my dad made a comment, and I looked at him and said, "Dad," I said, "she's a shill. She's full of shit. She's mm-hmm. pushing an agenda, and she's just bad news." But they need a black face, and they put her on there. Glenn Ford over at Black Agenda Report, he's been on to her for years and just tore her apart in the crap that she says. And of course, this might be a little outside baseball or inside baseball for those who don't know who she is or don't know who Glenn Ford is. But at any rate, hey, can I put you on hold for a moment? I want to bring you back on,
sure.
I want to share something that came to mind during this discussion. And this is probably, I don't know, this is from a while, maybe a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know the date. But my friend Brian Stetton, who you probably know as well, he hosts with Ruth Ann Amartafio on Progress to Democracy. It's a BTR show as well. But he wrote a little piece. Well, it's basically his Facebook status, but I think it speaks to this point about the media. This is what he said. This is a few weeks ago. So CNN highlights the oppressive, controlling propaganda on Korean TV. I agree. North Korea is an oppressive, totalitarian state. So maybe I'm a red, okay? But I'm certainly not a North Korean apologist. So setting that aside, what about our propaganda? Why are we having these special reports about North Korean society now, right? You didn't have them 6 months ago, didn't have them a year ago, didn't have them 5 years ago. You know, is this just a bunch of, you know, warmongering propaganda? Well, of course it is. And yeah, North Korean TV, it pushes its people to believe that their leader, Kim Jong-un, is a god. North Korean TV does that. Well, guess what? Our TV pushes American exceptionalism. They want their people in Korea to worship Kim Jong-un. But our TV wants us to worship consumer goods. A guest states that North Korean TV molds and shapes the mind of the North Korean people, I guess, on, you know, American media. Well, you know what? Our TV molds and shapes the mind of the American people. North Korea, ooh, North Korean TV lacks dissenting points of view. Well, no shit. But guess what? For over here in America, for the most part, so does our TV. It lacks dissenting points of view. Our media is owned by these, you know, few large corporations, and our media, and they make their revenue selling the audience, selling your eyeballs, your ear holes to other corporations for ad revenue. And so what does that mean? That means that critique against corporate interests are very, very limited. Our news considers objectivity to be simply, you know, accurately quoting what comes out of the Beltway. Even if what comes out of the Beltway, the politicians and their staff, even if what comes out of their mouth, the statements that they make are, well, anywhere from highly questionable to absolute falsehoods. If you remember at the beginning of the Iraq War, just about everybody, all the TV media, everybody was pro-war. No one questioned the story about the weapons of mass destruction. Well, one person did. One person did on MSNBC. He had the highest rated show. He had the only show making any money. His name was Phil Donahue. Still is Phil Donahue, just not on MSNBC anymore because he got canned. Because the owner of NBC at the time, and thus MSNBC, the owner was GE. GE and I think Microsoft, and they're both major defense contractors. So you can't have somebody telling the truth or questioning the narrative. So believe what you will, folks, about the crap that you hear about North Korea. Yeah, okay, they're bad. Yeah, he's probably a statist. He's probably a dictator. He's probably a dick. Okay, I get that. And they've got propaganda going on their television machines in North Korea. But guess what? We do too. Our media is a propaganda machine. Make no mistake about it. Our society is oppressive. Make no mistake about it. And until you realize that, until you educate yourself about that, well, you're not going to get it. And you're definitely not going to get an education from the American TV machine. And that's why we do these kind of shows. And that's why we blog, and that's why we Facebook, and that's why we go to meetings in our communities, and that's why we get active and we get with it. So anyway, so Zeno, let me bring you back on. Does that strike a chord with you?
Oh, definitely.
I love
and,
you.
You know, I'd like to point anybody to, if you, you know, to type in your Google machine, the Chomsky-Herman propaganda model, and Chomsky's manufacturing consent, and it really spells out how propaganda functions in a democracy, let's call it.
in a so-called democracy, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read that in a long time. It's been years, but... But yeah, it always comes back to, well, people ask me, well, why is this and why is that and how come people believe this and how come people believe that? And my short answer all the time is the propaganda model works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one big takeaway I got from reading that is that, yeah, the propaganda model works. They know how it works. They've perfected it. It's the greatest propaganda. I mean, Jesus, you know, my Thor, my dog, Hitler had a great propaganda machine. But it ain't nothing compared to what we got now. Nothing. What do you? Let me change the subject since we so agree on that one. Is the Boston bombing even worth talking about? Do we really know anything? Is it a waste of time to even speculate? What do you think?
Well, I think that there is some speculation that's going neglected, in that some people are touching on it, at least in comments on online and on Facebook, and in some, you know, progressive circles, that it's basically being ignored, the possibility that it could be quite likely that this is another Oklahoma City bombing type scenario, where it was homegrown right-wing white nationalist militia types.
Yeah, and since I don't watch the mainstream media, so I don't know what they're speculating about. I'm sure it's Al-Qaeda, right?
But, yeah, I mean, it's like they don't have enough information to point in the Al-Qaeda direction.
Right.
So it's interesting that they just don't go there anyway. You know, I was expecting North Korea or Iran to be blamed, you know.
That hasn't happened. See, at least
that hasn't happened. Somebody tried to float North Korea and nobody bought it.
Yeah.
One crazy guy did. And, of course, the Alex Jones types, they try to say this is a false flag. And, you know, you've got that end. But you notice that stuff gets attention. And but I think what we've been kind of covering on our show is kind of covering the militia angle, and how the Department of Homeland Security report on the rise of militias and anti-government extremists
from
the right.
Like about a year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, the best
of
terrorists.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember talking about that on my show, yeah.
Yeah, and the right exploded, and they kind of covered their far fringe flank, and the whole thing got canned. There's basically one person in the FBI that's devoted to right-wing domestic terrorists.
One?
And there's about 27 aimed at Muslims.
Right.
And, you know, who knows how many are, you know, trying to set up anarchists and people with Occupy.
Well, you know, anarchists have been set up and are sitting in jail now. Yeah. And
yeah,
there's nothing illegal about wanting a non-hierarchy. There's nothing illegal about thoughts, and nothing illegal about words and ideas. And the idea that these anarchists, you know, they pull them in front of a grand jury and they want to know what books they're reading, and they're like, fuck you, well, I'm not talking to you, you know.
Yeah, these anarchists have been tortured, you know, they've been held in solitary confinement during their whole times, they've been held incommunicado, and, you know, under the estimations of the UN and human rights groups, you know, solitary confinement is a form of torture. And these are people being tortured for their political beliefs to talk. And, you know, it's something we talked about today on our show, is how it's bled into just regular prison. You know, it's just like it started without, you know, in a way it started in our own prisons, and then it migrated to our prisons abroad in our gulag system. And now it's come back home again, where torture is an official policy. It's a bipartisan policy of the state to torture people, and now assassinate people and hold people indefinitely.
That's the one that gets me.
The Democrat is doing it. So-called left in this country is completely quiet.
Yeah, I don't even call them the left, you know, anymore. No. And when anybody talks about the left, like, I spend a couple of nights a week in a bar. I DJ at the bar, and then I hang out there and talk to people, and eventually politics comes up because, well, it's me. And it's amazing. I mean, the definitions that people have of what the left is, or, you know, what a capitalist is, or we got a lot of work to do. And I don't get that much. Maybe I hear your show twice a month. You know, I don't hear it all the time anymore. You know, I'm so busy, and I started another job, so I'm working 6 days a week. This is my night off. But I just think it's important that their voices are out there. And here's something that I want to share with everyone. So there's a group of people that I've known for several years, kind of activist, leftist types. And one of the Facebook group is called Round Tree 7. And I don't know if you're in that one or not. I probably should add you. But anyway, several people have blogs and websites, and they get, you know, hundreds of hits, if not thousands of hits, at, you know, they've got an audience. And some of them also have blog talk shows or podcasts, or they're on some sort of platform where they do shows. And so a group of them got together and said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if there was one website, a lefty leftist hub, you know, central hub, where you could go to this website and you could find, you know, Brian and Ruth Ann's show. You could find the Authority Smashing Hour. You could find Lee Cam, Dennis Traynor Jr. You could find, you know, Cindy Sheehan, Cindy's Soapbox. You could find Pinko the Bear. Blah, blah. Anyway, so for the last 2 months, we've been meeting once a week and then working on getting together a website that's going to do this. It's going to be a hub where you just go to the regular website, and it's called the Commons Project, the Commons Project Network. Yeah, the Commons, TCPN, the Commons Project Network. That's the website. And when we get it up and operational, it will have, if there's a show on, anyone who's doing a show, who's a member, part of this co-op, we're going to run it like a co-op. We're going to have a live YouTube channel streaming on the website so you can see and or listen to the show live. And then on top of that, everybody who has a show who does come in with us, all the archives will be there so you can click on anything and listen to any past shows as well. So as far as I know, and as far as my friends that are involved in this know, there is no lefty hub. There's like a lefty Facebook wannabe place that didn't get any traction. But an actual website where you can hear and see live shows or the archives, and it's the Commons Project Network, TCPN. And that's going to be up and running fairly soon, maybe within a month. And maybe after we get it up and running, you would be interested in linking up with us and working with us?
Yeah, I really would, because I've been trying to, we've been working on this project for a couple years ourselves, and you've been doing your show for a while, and we've been trying to build our audience. Continue to build our audience and go somewhere with it. And this sounds like a very good idea. And I know David Pakman and Cenk Uygur and the guys at Young Turks and their networks have tried to do something for the progressive left liberals and stuff. And, I was thinking, I was like, why don't we,
Right. Radical. A little more radical, right?
Yeah. And I was like, where is the radical Young Turks?
I'd like to think
some of us are. But
maybe we can get who knows? Maybe we can get Cenk to turn the leaf and come over and put his up as well. I mean, I think there might be some resistance to that because in the end, I don't think he's an anti-capitalist, and he's not a socialist.
Yeah, he's
more of
a
social democrat.
He went from being a Republican, but I will give him props for being the only consistent show, the only host of a progressive show to continually call out Obama's austerity scheme day one and never waver, waver to the pressure of the Obama bots.
Good.
I got something to be said for that, and I'll give him credit for that.
I know Gwendolyn, Gwendolyn Holden Berry, her show, Here Be Monsters. She's a big fan of his, and I just don't watch him anymore, just like I don't watch Rachel. And I understand that he's to the left of Rachel, just like mm-hmm. Keith Overman would be to the left of Rachel. So we in our core group of seven people, Worldwide Hippies is one, Joe McAvoy and Woody Kaponik, Woody 99er, I don't know if you know him from Facebook, but they've got a show. Anyway, so there's a core group of us, and there's seven, and we're going to vote on everything, who's in, who's out, blah, blah, blah. And I think your show would be perfect for this because we're all left of the liberals.
Yeah, we'd definitely be interested. And this is something that I've kind of seen myself. I've never seen the opportunity or enough other like-minded shows. I had hoped to broach this with you and some of the other blog talk progressive and lefty shows as well, and I guess we've had our falling out with some other shows and their hosts,
right
but
I'm a better
that's a pretty good sounding idea, and it's kind of like really your format and our format would really do well on the radio, on like Sirius or something like that. But you know, it's like your problems that you've encountered with terrestrial radio and stuff like that is, no matter how good you are, you're giving an anti-capitalist message, and it's all about, you know, the selling
ads. Yeah,
you
know what happened?
Ads, you know?
This is unfortunate. Well, maybe it's unfortunate, maybe it's not. But you know, I viewed Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, all these liberal talkers. I viewed them at one time. I viewed them as people telling me the truth. And yes, they tell me the truth about how bad the right is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were kind of my gateway drug to more radical thinking. You know, going to the socialism conference, reading more Chomsky and Zinn and stuff. So they have a place. Even though they're also left gatekeepers in a way, you know, they keep people on the reservation. But if you listen to these guys enough, you get tired of hearing about how bad the right is, and you realize that the problems, if you realize the problems are deeply, more deeply rooted, and the problem is the system of capitalism itself, then they're a decent gateway drug, so to speak. And so, you know, I don't hate them. I'm glad they exist. But here in Reno, we had one AM station that had all of those leftover Air America types. Guess what? We have two conservative radio stations, and now one of those stations bought the liberal station, and now it's going to be talk radio from the right. Just consolidate and kill the competition. And so now there's going to be more misinformed, dumbass rednecks in the state of Nevada voting for Sharon Engel or, you know, whatever. Obama's coming to get my guns and, you know, Hispanics are taking my jobs and, you know, North Korea is bad.
Boys and girls, which worries me most. Too often, our children don't get the education they need, the education they deserve. Children who need to be taught to respect traditional moral values are being taught that they have an inalienable right to be gay. All of those children are being cheated of a sound start in life. Yes, cheated.
All right, I think we're back. Zeno, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so did the Margaret Thatcher clip play? It was a minute long.
Yes, it did. Evil,
okay.
evil individual.
So I'm not, I can't, yeah, I can't blame this snafu on Blog Talk. This was I think I got kicked off the internet. I think it was on my end, and it appeared that the show was still going, but everything went quiet, and it kept showing me that the Thatcher thing was was loading. At any rate, we're running out of time here, I don't know, any last thoughts before I move? I didn't get to half the shit that I planned, but it was more fun talking to you. Any final thoughts?
I'm just hoping everything goes well with the sending off of the Wicked Witch.
I found it.
When that goes,
I finally found it. Here we go. Here's one that I wanted to play.
I was born in a very fortunate time when I, my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation fought very hard for a welfare state in my country in which the rights of the individual were underpinned by the collective provision of free healthcare, free education, decent, affordable housing, proper pensions.
Yeah.
And that was, that's what we refer to as in my country as the post-war consensus. Parties came and went, Labour, Conservative, Liberal, nobody ever changed that until Margaret Thatcher came along.
Yes.
And she decided that it would be better to have to pay less taxes. So she began to take apart the welfare state and that provision, and the government owned the coal mines. And although there was
government-owned coal
plenty
mines.
Of coal under our country, she began to close them down. So they went on strike, and really the strike became a defense of that welfare state, of those ideals of collective responsibility, collective provision. And as a singer-songwriter who'd grown up listening to Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie and the Clash,
right.
It seemed to me that my place was to be, there on the picket line playing songs. And it was interesting because it was a bit of an education for me because I didn't go to college, so I didn't know a huge amount about socialism. So it was a very steep learning curve. They wanted to know why this pop singer from London had come up to the coal fields, sitting up late at night on sofas with people, drinking cups of tea, smoking cigarettes, talking about politics.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you that my great inspiration in my politics was Margaret Thatcher. Were it not for her, I probably wouldn't be a socialist.
So we have one thing to thank Margaret Thatcher for, is it made Billy Bragg a socialist. And his voice is out there, and I really appreciate that. Had you heard that clip, Zeno?
No, I haven't. That was a very good clip.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Thatcher radicalized countless people of our respective generations.
Yeah, I think that the bank bailouts, the fact that Obama did not put any banksters in jail, that he didn't put any war
mm-hmm.
criminals in jail, and then became a war criminal himself. I think that radical, and then he starts killing American citizens without trial, or evidence or conviction or sentence. That's radicalized a lot of people, but not everybody. I talked to my father and his good friend who's in his late 60s. My dad's in his mid 70s. I talked to them during the Hot August Nights car show. They're old car guys, right? And they like to go look and there's a big rally here every year. Anyway, and so I was talking to him. He's my godfather. I've known him since I was like 5. And a retired guy, worked in retail his whole life, made it to the vice presidency of a Carson Perry Scott, which is a big, big thing in Chicago. Anyway, and he had never heard of Anwar Alawaki. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about kill lists or Taco Tuesdays, as I like to call it. didn't know anything about that. And when I explained it to him, then, he doubted my sources. I'm like, look, dude, I've known you my whole life. I don't fucking lie. Just get on your Google machine. It's not that hard. And I brought my laptop out, but he wasn't trying to read any of that. You know what he said? He's like, well, if the president says he's a terrorist, then he's probably a terrorist, and I don't really care if he kills him. I'm like, dude, he's an American citizen.
Yeah.
And they killed his 16-year-old son in a separate strike while his son was playing in the backyard. I don't know, they were barbecuing or doing something, I don't know. But this is the liberal mindset, this war hawk liberal fucked up, just, it's insane. And he loves Rachel Maddow, and he loves MSNBC, and he loves thinkprogress.org, and he loves, I mean, but he won't watch Bill Moyers.
Mm.
You know, and he won't listen to Mike Malloy. I just, but this is what we're up against, man. And so I figured, you know, if you're 60, 70 years old, you know, you're probably never going to get radicalized. Unless you're homeless.
You never know, you know, it's never too late, you know. It's like,
Unless you're homeless. But if you got a few bucks in the bank and you got 6 timeshares that you can, like, you know, take your vacations all over the world and enjoy your retirement, you know, you probably not trying to think about, you know, the people throwing themselves off the building at Foxconn because the conditions are so horrible they'd rather commit suicide, and then Apple has to install circus nets, you know, to keep people from killing themselves at work.
Yep.
I mean, but this kind of stuff is just not even on the radar of most liberals.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, and, you know, it's just like liberals have, you know, like anybody with privilege has a vested interest in keeping said privilege and not seeing the privilege.
Right. Absolutely. All right, my friend, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you calling. You made the
great to hear you back on.
Oh, thank you. It made the second hour much easier for me. I'll shoot you a note when we get the Commons Project Network up and running, and the website's functional with a live feed, and then we start talking. We've already talked about, you know, just some of the names that we would like. We'd like Lee Camp. We'd like Dennis Traynor Jr. We'd like you. We'd like I like Bob Carson. I don't know if any of my friends at the network know him, but Bob Carson.
Not
does
familiar it. With Bob Carson.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does a good show. He does some on MMA, you know, the fighting. He's a mixed martial arts, but he's also a lefty, and so he has both shows. And he's actually on AM radio. It might be in the Boston area or somewhere close by, somewhere back east. He talks funny. But there's a lot of people that have voices that need to be heard, and hopefully we can commingle our listeners and cross, because everybody's style is different. Some people don't like the F word, and so they can't listen to Pinko the Bear because he drops the F bomb.
F bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people.
Exactly. F bombs don't kill people. Real. Yes. Exactly. I had forgotten about that. Yeah, it's funny because a year off, I forgot about a bunch of the crap I used to say. Maybe it'll all come back to me like riding a bike.
That's one of my favorite sayings you've had.
Thank you. Killionaires and billionaires. I noticed you used that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I caught that at the beginning.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
All right.
The Authority Smashing Hour, folks. Catching on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and in the search button put in The Authority Smashing Hour. Also, Here Be Monsters with Gwendolyn Berry. I call her Gwenny. But with Gwen Berry, Worldwide Hippies, not on Blog Talk. Just do a Google search for Worldwide Hippies. Joe McAvoy and Woody have that one. Bob Carson has a great show, Carson's Corner at Blog Talk Radio. And God, there's more. Air Amarta Theo, Ruth Ann, and Brian Sutton do a great show. Everybody's got a different style. Maybe the messages are not exactly the same, but they're very close. It's all good stuff. Everybody needs to do their part. Do what you can with what you got, you know, when you can. You know, even if it's just a little thing, just get active, you know, do something, right? And just let me leave you with a last couple of maybe one last thought or two. Actually, maybe 3 last thoughts. 1, fuck the police. 2, hang the bankers. And 3, comrades, smash the state. Good night, it's the Pink of the Bear Show. Tuesday.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason. risen in revolt, now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses, arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So, comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the fort must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The